Hello, it is Paul Marsh. Welcome to the Marshy Cast. Thank you very much for tuning in. It is always gratefully appreciated. Now, before we get to the big news for our podcast, let's talk about my big news away from the podcast. You may have heard me talking about this on last week's podcast. You may have seen it online on my various different socials. But the news that I announced this week is that I have joined HGV Radio, which is a new startup radio station, which is aimed at truckers and HGV drivers. But of course, it's not always entirely for HGV One truckers and drivers. So if you want to listen to that at any point, I am on weekends from 1 p.m. till 4 p.m. both Saturday and Sunday. So feel free to give me a listen on the weekend. You can listen to HGV One if you download the app, which is now available for you to take us on the move and get us on your phone or your tablet by visiting the App Store and searching for HGV One, or you can find the link on our website at hgvradio.com. So if you want to listen to me on weekends, that is the place that you are going to find me. Of course, let's get back to the podcast and what we are here to talk about. It's not very often I dedicate the whole podcast to one person, and that's exactly what we're doing with this week. We are dedicating this podcast to the legendary football manager, Mr. Neil Warnock. Yes, Mr. Are you with me? Mr. You've got to die for 3 points. I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago. He's an absolute star is what he is. He's just about to finish his tour. He did a tour a couple of years ago, evening with and speaking and telling all of his stories around the country. Because he stayed in management with Huddersfield, he didn't get to complete it. However, he is completing it now. He is doing a very short stint, I believe 6 shows he's doing over the course of the UK, over the course of the next couple of months. So if you want to go and see him, he is in York on the 31st of May, Nottingham on the 5th of June, Ipswich on the 7th of June, Wimbledon on the 8th of June, Portsmouth on the 14th of June, and Cardiff on the 21st of June. Now, I am going to be hosting the evening in Portsmouth on the 14th of June. I am really, really looking forward to that. But one of the amazing things that he is doing, he is donating a portion of all ticket sales to the local community charity. So down here in Portsmouth, it is Pompey and the Community. They help youngsters and people that have no means to play football and no ways to play football. They go around schools and help them and everything else like that. It's a fantastic charity down here in Portsmouth. And everywhere he's going, every other show he's doing exactly the same with the local charity. So if you are thinking about going to any of these, just know that your ticket sales will help the local community as well. Right, time to get to our interview then with the legendary football manager, Mr. Neil Warnock. It's Paul Marsh, and I am delighted to say that I'm joined by the legendary Mr. Neil Warnock. Neil, how are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. Yes, Paul, it's a lovely morning down here in Cornwall.
Are you rested? Have you defrosted?
Absolutely, yes. I have defrosted, yes. And looking forward to a few nice weeks, or hopefully the weather will stop raining soon and give us a chance to enjoy it.
Oh, fingers crossed, right? So you're down in Portsmouth on Friday the 14th of June at the Portsmouth Guildhall with the Are You With Me tour. Can't wait for that. I think it's going to be a fantastic evening.
Yeah, Portsmouth's such a special place to me. I nearly went there 2 or 3 times and got some good stories for that, you know, for the evening about my opportunities that never developed for one reason or another. But I always, as a manager, I always enjoyed managing there, because when you stand up there I always shout instructions on, but as soon as I stood up, the fans behind used to drown me. And I couldn't hear myself talk, let alone the lads hear me. It was just an amazing atmosphere. And I always thought, right from the first time I ever went there, I'd love to manage this club. You know, it was one of those things. And really pleased they're doing well.
Yes.
You know, it'd be nice to see them back in the championship and pushing on, because it is a good club.
Well, we'll get to all of that kind of stuff very shortly. I just want to say that I went up to Scotland for a week on my 40th birthday, and I was up there nearly as long as what you were at Aberdeen. In fact, I think that if I'd have stayed for an extra day or two, I might have been offered a job as well.
You might have been outlived me. Yeah, in that area. Yeah, it was a rash decision at first, but listen, I enjoyed the people were nice.
Yes, yeah, I have to say that. Yeah,
it was cold, but there were other factors which meant I felt it was right that they got somebody in quickly now with the looking at what they're going to do. They've had a big turnover. They've had a group looking at where they can improve the whole club. And I just felt at the time, if I could get them through the semi-final to the semi-final of the Cup, we beat Kilmarnock my last game. So they've got a semi-final in about 3 weeks' time now at Hampden.
Well,
and it was a good way to sign off, really.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say you certainly, even in your short period there, I think you left them in a far better position than what you found them.
We should have. Well, we should have had six, seven more points from the games. I mean, I suppose because I'm used to the Championship, the mistakes that were made, I'm not seeing that type of mistake made before, you know, for a long time. Mm. No, normally, I think when you coach players, etc., you tell them once and that's it. Are you with me? But there was some elementary mistakes. But a good group of lads. They tried their hardest, and like I say, a nice club. But I just felt it was right that they got somebody in quickly now and planned ahead.
Well, like I say, that's to our advantage because that means that you are coming down to Portsmouth on the 14th of June. Now, you are such a good soul in what you're doing down here because you're donating a percentage of each ticket sale to Pompey in the community. Why is it so important for you to raise money for Pompey in the community?
I just felt that with my shows that I'm really enjoying them. And, you know, I had a word with the promoter and just to see if we could help the clubs that we're going at, because if you look at the clubs that I'm going at, they've all got stories for me, really. They all bring back memories to me, and good memories as well. And it's you know, it'll be nice to share that a few of the funny stories really on the evening. And I thought at the same time, if we could help the foundation, because it's amazing how many people they forget about the foundations of this world, don't they? And you know, everywhere I've been, Middlesbrough, Huddersfield, great foundations and all supporting in it. I thought if I could just play my bit as well when I'm down there, it would be good.
Well, it's a fantastic gesture. You, like you say, you have travelled all over the country. You've managed all over the country. Have you encountered a lot of underprivileged areas and kids who just want to play football?
Yeah, absolutely. Everywhere, really. Going back to my days in London at Crystal Palace, where football was everything, really. And it's the same up in Sheffield, where I was born. You know, I think they're the rivalry, a little bit like your rivalry down there with Ipswich. You know, the rivalry, you can't forget sort of those things. Are you with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, you know, yes, it's changed. We used to, we were very lucky when I was growing up. We could go out at night with my brother and his mates, and we'd go to the park and take our tops off for the goalposts, put them down, play till it went pitch black. Unfortunately, now with all the problems, you can't go till it's dark. You've got to be back inside and safe and sound. So we were lucky. In some respects, we weren't. We had no computers, no iPhones, things like that. But in other words, in a lot of ways, we were very lucky that we didn't have them. You might not have thought it at the time. But, you know, it was lovely to go and to a couple of hours and play football and not give anything about, you know, are we safe here or you know. Mm. So it has changed a little bit.
Now, have you seen the impact of football foundations and charities in your time as manager? Obviously, over, you know, the number of decades, have you seen that grow?
Absolutely. The number of things now that they're doing, you know, there's so many. You know, I've just been talking to a couple that they're sleeping overnight at the ground. Mm. Are you with me? And raising money for that. And there's people doing absolutely unbelievable, climbing mountains and you name it. But like at Huddersfield, I went to where they provided meals for a lot of people. And then they were starting to do, I think, 50 schools as well.
Okay.
Where they were doing like a breakfast type thing for the schools. For the underprivileged and what have you. You know, I think it goes under the radar a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Things like that. But all the clubs are doing things like that.
Now, we can potentially raise around £10,000 from your show at the Guildhall for Pompey in the community. What would you say to anybody right now who's listening, thinking about buying a ticket?
Well, it's a no-brainer, isn't it, really? Just get down there and I'm sure they'll have an entertaining evening. There's quite... I keep remembering stories that I've not even planned to talk about, and I'm sure Pompey will remind me of a few good stories. I have got quite a number lined up anyhow, but it's a great it's nice for me to talk about my past and some of the managers, you know, not just in the Premier League, you know, like your Fergusons and Wengers and Benitez, the Barneys I've had with them. But also, you know, the lower down the pyramid as well. You know, I've had some great times at the moment, and it's nice to go back and bring up memories and funny stories. Really, I just try and make the audience enjoy the evening, really.
And also, I think the way that certainly TV etc. is going, I think, would it be fair to say that you may tell a few stories on stage that you might not be able to get away with on TV?
Yeah, look. We'll have to search everybody, won't we? So they leave the phones everywhere. You know, I'm afraid you've got to be careful now, haven't you? Because it's like when I used to say to the press guys when I first started, off the record. Yeah. Oh, yeah, off the record. You couldn't possibly do that now.
No.
Unfortunately, young journalists in particular now, they've got editors who demand headlines. And it's sad, really, because I used to confide everything in my local journalists. I've had some cracking journalists. But now, you know, you've got to consider that you can't say off the record anymore. Well, I can do to a number of journalists I've known all my life.
There's people you can trust, isn't there?
Yeah, because like I say, I always say that the tabloids in particular never let facts get in the way of a good story.
Very true.
And it's, you know, it's that's how it is, I'm afraid.
Now, the last time we spoke, which was just over a year ago, you had offered your services short-term to Portsmouth. They went with an unknown fella called John Mussino. It didn't work out too badly for Pompey, did it?
What a good decision, eh? What a good decision, I know. And I think the way he handles himself is excellent as well. He doesn't get carried away if things don't go well. And he supports his players all the time. And they play a good brand of football. Mm. I think it's a good recipe for success, and it'll be interesting. Obviously, I hope they go up, but then it'll be interesting next season because the Championship's a great league, but nothing to be frightened about. Nothing, you know. You've seen what Ipswich have done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to be where they are is an amazing feat this year, and there's no reason why Portsmouth don't do that.
Have you seen much of Pompey this year?
I've seen them a couple of times. Yeah. I mean, you look at them and. They're what I call not one of my teams, but they're a team, aren't they?
Mm.
You know, they're not like individual, and you can name him or name them. I just think they fit together, and that's why they've got the results, I think. And I think the manager obviously deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, I think the amount of last minute winners, or certainly in the final 10 minutes of the game, they've got that winning goal. I think, like you say, it shows the team is togetherness. And you know, they are going to fight till the end for the, not only themselves, but the manager as well.
Yeah, never give in. I mean, it's one of my sayings, really, never give in. And I think that's, you know, one of my other sayings is you've got to die for 3 points. I think
it's true.
Everywhere I go now, the young lads, really, teenagers and early 20s, you know, they all come up to me now, you've got to die for 3 points, Neil. So it's good social media in some respect, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of youngsters out there finding out about the things, and, you know, your YouTubes and all your social medias, that's what they're great for. Now, speaking of that, funny enough, from our last interview that we did, one of the questions I asked you was about who was the best player you almost signed. And now that reached nearly 1 million views on social media. So let's see what we can come up with this time, okay? Who was the biggest prankster that you ever worked with?
Oh, that there's no doubt. A lad called Rob Kozluk at Sheffield United. By 100 miles, he was the worst. He was. You just didn't know what he was going to do next. Not all good, I may say. But, you know, he was a lovely lad as well. Still keep in touch with him as well, but he was a prankster. You know, he'd move people's cars and everything. Oh,
any that jumped to your mind that you can talk about on radio?
Well, we went on pre-season tour down to Cornwall, where we always went because I still lived there, and we used to play. You know, we used to play football against Bodmin and Tavistock, and we wanted a cricket game. We had a cricket game up at I think it was not Biddeford, but Somewhere out, you know, in the
Barnstable,
wilds.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, and we went out there and we were playing cricket, and all of a sudden this naked man ran across the cricket green and round. I said, who the hell's that? He had a wig on. And, oh, my goodness, mate. I mean, you just don't. Goodness knows why he even did it. But that was him. He just didn't know what he was going to do next.
Is there a player, because last time we spoke about the fact that you almost signed Didier Drogba, is there a player that you begged the board to sign and they said no, but in the end you were proven right?
Absolutely. Crystal Palace, right? Steve Parrish, the chairman. He had a data, everything was data-based, and, you know, we don't sign players unless they're this, that, and the other. So we had a scout in Scotland tell us about a player, a good player. I won't tell you his name yet. A good player, and we were looking for a centre-half. So I sent Ronnie Jepson up to watch him, and he played all right. And Ronnie said, he'll do for us, Gaffer, yeah. So I told the chairman, he's going to cost about £3 million, but he's a good player, comfortable on the ball and all this, that, and other. So I just thought it to be a formality. And so the chairman said to me, the next time I saw him, we don't think he's quick enough, this player. I said, what do you mean he's not quick enough? Well, he doesn't look as though he can sprint. So I said to him, chairman, in all disrespect, in Scotland, he doesn't have to sprint. He reads the game that well. He's always in front of everybody. So, that's ridiculous. That's on the data, he said. That's on the data or data, whatever you call it. So we didn't sign him. And this lad was called Van Dijk.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Oh.
£3 million, Celtic. And Ronnie come back and said, yeah, good player, Gaffer, we'll have him. And then the chairman and the data guy, I bet every time he sees him.
Yeah.
And we played Liverpool when I was at Cardiff. We played Liverpool and Van Dijk come up to me in the... I know you tried to sign me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he did, yeah. So it was quite funny, that. But I wonder what Palace think when they're looking for a centre-half now.
Yeah, amazing. And what could have been? I mean, A, they could be in a much better position than what they are now. But B, if they had sold him, look at the money that Southampton sold him for.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm glad. I'm really pleased they did well, me.
We've seen players like Lingard, Sancho, Dele Alli all playing far below the level that they should be. With the exception of Tarabat, who you spoke about a lot, who could have gone to have been the best but maybe had the wrong attitude?
Well, off the cuff, I can't really think of anybody. I mean, I've had a few. You know, you always have challenges as a manager, and I'm not worried about... in fact, I think I got Michael Brown from Portsmouth. I think he was on loan at Portsmouth at the time. And I really rescued his career, really, because Joe Royal didn't want him at Man City. And so he was a nice lad. I just look at some of them, some of the ability lads that I've had that really I thought could do a lot better. But without naming them, I'll probably think about your question when I come down there. But off the cuff, I can't really think of any. I remember one lad who I really fancied. I took him and I took him up to Scarborough. Not to Scarborough. Yes, he did. He played for Scarborough. And I said to him, with your ability, son, you should be looking to try and get to the top level. I can't tell you how you're going to get there, but you should be looking at the top of the pile. You're talking about Championship, Premiership to get there with your ability. Or if you go the other way, you'll be playing for Bromley. And unfortunately, ended up in prison. You can't win them all.
Unbelievable.
You know what I mean?
Unbelievable.
But most of the lads like that come out that did well and progressed. And, I've got I've got a few good stories about players that that probably didn't think they could play at the top level that ended up playing at the top level and still text me now and then.
That's so always good. Nice, isn't it? It's always nice when they say, attitude overcomes skill every day of the week.
It does, I mean, if you've got them both.
Yes.
It's great. It's a great tribute to you that you use it in the right way. But there's so much happening now. You've got to have a level head as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, there's so much money at stake. I mean, when you see teenagers on 100 grand a week, it does frighten you a bit nowadays. Because there were no mental issues when I was a, you know, it, you didn't know that things like that, you know, happened. And that only came in the last sort of 10 years. And then you can understand why. It's not the money that they're on. It's
pressure.
Going home. And,
absolutely.
And I mean, at Portsmouth, I one of the players, I remember after a game at Portsmouth, a knock on the door and a face coming in and presenting me with his shirt. And he had his problems. Can you think who it might be?
I do know who this is. And this is he's a legend down in this way, Paul Merson.
Correct, Paul Merson, yeah. And we still talk about that when I see him on Sky and things like that, you know. But, you know, he remembered something I'd said and about him and brought me his shirt in, which was very, very good of him, you know. Even I think we got a good result that night. It was enjoyable.
Final question from me. So your evening at the Portsmouth Guildhall is 2 days before England kick off their Euro 2024 campaign. Can they win it? And what do they need to do to have a chance?
Yes, they can win it. They've got the players to win it. I think Gareth's done a fantastic job. I think he's the best man that could have managed England over the last 7 years. And I just feel when we get to the knockout stages, quarterfinals, that we'll always qualify and we'll always get to, you know, quarterfinals. But I just think when we have to have a plan B against the better sides.
Yeah.
Because the better sides show that our centre-halves have not the best centre-halves, I don't think. And I just think that he knows that. I think Gareth knows that. But I just think there's a plan B at times during the game. I don't think there's anybody on the staff of Gareth that can get hold of Gareth and tell him this or tell him that. Are you with me? I think they're all nice people. I think Gareth is. And I think sometimes you have to be a little bit that way to get a win out of your team.
I really like it in the Premiership where you see a goal be scored and the manager immediately turns around to one of his staff and points at him as if to say, that's you, you know, you did that. And like you say, I'm not 100% sure if there's anybody like that in the England camp.
No, I'm not. I'm hoping to prove me wrong because nothing would be better for England to win it with Gareth. Because he is such a nice lad.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want him to go to play a place like Man United because I think they would eat him up.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a day-to-day manager. I think he's done a fantastic job with England. And I think if they could do well, you know, I would try and keep my job with England if I was him. Because I think it's made to measure for him, despite, you know, obviously the critics jump on board with England, but he's gonna get that anyway. Yeah.
Neil, it's been fantastic to talk to you as always. Thank you very much for talking to me. Just a reminder for anybody who has maybe just tuned in and caught the end of this, you are going to be at the Portsmouth Guildhall on Friday the 14th of June with your Are You With Me show. And the best part about all of this is you are donating a portion of that ticket to Pompey in the Community where, you know, they do some really, really great work around the city.
Thank you very much. Cheers, son.
Thank you very much for listening to the Marshy Cast. It is always greatly appreciated. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Mr. Neil Warnock. What a legend that man is. Some of the stories he's told are just absolutely phenomenal. Just a reminder that he is going on tour over the UK. He is going on tour all over the UK over the next couple of months. On Friday the 31st of May, he's going to be at the York Barbican Theatre. Wednesday the 5th of June, he will be at the Nottingham Playhouse. Friday the 7th of June at Ipswich Regent Theatre. Saturday the 8th of June at AFC Wimbledon. Friday the 14th of June in my hometown, he's going to be at the Portsmouth Guildhall. Friday the 21st of June, he's going to be at the Vale Arena in Cardiff. So if you're near any of those venues, please go and see him because it is sure to be a fantastic evening out. Just remember, you can catch me weekdays on Express FM from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. Weekends on HGV One Radio from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. That's Saturdays and Sundays. But I'll be back next week with another episode of the Marshy Cast.